News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to SunGard Availability Services, global leaders in disaster recovery and business continuity. IT for business that never stops.
Now, the overweight and obesity problem in Ireland has grown dramatically in the last 20 years, and Paul and Aisling Connolly's Motivation weight management business has mirrored the growing health problem. Now comprising of 26 clinics around Ireland, 15 of which are franchises, the business, which was founded in 1995, has an annual turnover of 9 million and employs 140 people. Paul and Aisling join me now, and good morning to you both.
Good morning, Bobby.
Now, you are veterans of this business, and I'm going to start with you, Paul.
Sure.
And you might just explain to me how you got into the business. I think your father was a doctor, and when everybody else said you're crazy doing this, he gave you his blessing.
That's correct. Yes, Bobby. Our initial clinic was in Fitzwilliam Square, 1990. And the program at that time was basically healthy eating, food pyramid type of diet, but using medication. As I said, my father was a doctor, so using medication to help to curb the appetite.
So these were like pills, amphetamine type based pills.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. So basically the medication helped to curb the appetite, so people would eat less and therefore lose weight. But we found that while the results were quite good with regard to weight loss, the weight maintenance was pretty poor. So that got me interested in the whole psychology of weight loss. And I got more into looking at why people do what they do. So a lot of research then led me to a seminar in the USA, where I met Dr. Laroque. He gave a lecture on what he called...
This is Maurice Laroque.
Dr. Maurice Laroque, yeah. Yes, he's a French-Canadian. He was giving a lecture on mental weight. So he developed this behaviour questionnaire to measure changes in people's behaviours. So it's not just looking at the food part, which obviously is 50% of it, but the other 50%, you have to look at what's really at the root cause and behind the problem.
Okay, so yeah. The change then from those early days of the pills and the diet was to the psychology around why am I eating so much, or how do I change my headspace to stop me eating?
Exactly.
All right, let's bring in Aisling, your wife and co-director. She's the clinics director at Motivation and Weight Management. Aisling, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself pre-motivational weight management. You worked in Ryanair, isn't that right?
I did. That was my first job. And from there I went to Sherry Fitzgerald. Worked in Woodchester, so my background was very much administrative.
Okay.
And then I met Paul 20 whatever years ago, and I ended up working with him again in an administrative role, and then from working there was fascinated by the whole psychology of the weight loss. So I actually kind of did it backwards. I then went and did my psychology courses and trained training with Dr. Laroque, and ended up then consulting myself.
Okay.
And obviously now I do more training, still consult, but I just loved the concept of you know, it's not just what you eat, it's why, and looking at triggers. So that's why I went the psychology route, and identifying. It's really about looking at comfort eating.
Yeah.
You know,
and like when you say you've been 23 years in the business now, like, and we all know that the problem has probably got worse and worse. What are you seeing at the coalface? Like, what are you seeing a different type of individual coming through now than you did 20 years ago? Or what are the changes that you see right in the front line of your job?
I think the one thing I'm seeing at the moment is that clients are coming in extremely frustrated, very, very upset, and a huge feeling of doubt that they're going to succeed, because I think there are so many programs out there. There's so many different ways of losing weight, and most of the clients coming into us have tried absolutely everything. So that's the one thing that I'm noticing, first of all.
One of our texts says, and we always get a lot of them on this kind of subject, were your guests ever overweight themselves?
Yes, certainly. I would have been about a stone overweight when I met Paul. So I had to actually do the program, obviously, to understand it. And it was interesting because what we do is we use a mental weight questionnaire, which it will identify the triggers that may cause people to overeat. And two things came up for me. One was loneliness as a trigger, and the other was reward, using food as a reward. And I didn't quite get that because I'm an only child and I love my own space. But a few months into the doing the program and using the tools to help identify, I realised that what I was doing, Paul was actually playing rugby on a Thursday. I had the house to myself and I was getting the bottle of wine and the pizza.
Right.
So it took a while to identify what the trigger was, but I had that light bulb moment.
Okay. Paul, can I go back to you and ask you about the business? If now you've got 27 clinics around the country, 15 of which are franchising. The franchising business, and again, I know a small bit about it. It's not without its challenges. You're dealing with people, you're dealing with locations, you're dealing with trying to articulate your vision for your business through others. How have you found the growth of the business through franchising?
Yes, well, I would agree. It's not without its challenges, Bobby. But I have to say, we have a fantastic team, and we didn't really reach out to try and sell any franchises. It kind of happened organically. There were a lot of the franchisees are ex clients or people who followed us for years. So they're very dedicated to the business and very, very passionate about helping people and passionate about what they do.
So, yeah, yeah.
But the challenge is, I suppose, we have over 100 staff nationwide. So is, getting everybody to the same training location when we do our quarterly training and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that balance, I think it always shows, you know, the credibility of your own business where you're operating so many of them yourselves. I think that allows you to be credible in the franchise business. In other words, you know, if you're operating the like almost the same amount as 15 odd yourselves, and then that's probably a good balance in terms of credibility.
It is, exactly. And I suppose it's good that when we introduce new ideas, and that we'll always try them at the head office first, so to make sure.
And then you have a place where you can train people the way you want them to be trained in your own business.
Exactly. We rely a lot on behaviour modification and what we call cognitive behaviour therapy. So we do a lot of training in that. Yeah.
The texts are really weird here today. Did your guests hate carbs? That's from Tom. I don't think anybody hates carbs, do they?
No. And I think it's you know, one thing we would always say is we try not to use the word diet, because diet suggests deprivation. So, you know, and that's, we're not weight loss, it's weight management. So we don't cut out carbs. We don't cut out anything. It's learning to control them.
And you're right about diet, Aisling, because really so many diets end in failure. So even the word almost has an association with failure.
Absolutely. It's a negative word, and it's something we have to look at too. There's a negative motivation, there's positive motivation. But if, and back to your original question, if clients coming in, if they have negative motivation, they're possibly thinking of all the negative things they have to give up, fear of losing stuff. Whereas positive motivation, you can have all the positive motivation you want and really want to lose weight for that wedding or whatever it may be, yeah, to be fitter. But if there's negative motivation and negative thoughts, it's like brakes on a car. It's just going to stop you from succeeding.
What do you say to another texter who says, I don't get how this has become an industry. Eat less and exercise more. It's not rocket science. I think that's an oversimplification. And that's from Dave. Paul?
Yes, Bobby, that's an interesting question. If it was as simple as that, you know,
We'd all be doing it.
Yeah. You know, and if diets worked, nobody would be overweight, you know. So it's really, as we say, it's a two-pronged approach. If you follow a diet, if you're trying to lose weight by just diet alone and exercise, you're only treating 50% of the problem. The other 50% is in the head. Okay, so it's as we say, our motto is, it's not what you eat, it's why, or not just what you eat, it's why. So you really need to look at the thoughts and behaviours, and you know, the thoughts that we have before we eat the food.
Yeah,
yeah.
Aisling, can I ask you about the putting the weight back on? You know, we've all had success maybe at certain levels at shedding the weight, but it always seemed to be like the monkey on your back. It comes back. That challenge, that sort of secondary challenge, having lost the weight, getting it to stay off. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I think what happens a lot of people initially, if they have a slip, we would call it, and slips are normal. Perfectionism would be a huge personality trait, guilt and perfectionism in people. It shows up as probably one of the most common in a lot of clients. And what happens is when a person, if they have that personality trait, if they have a slip, the negative thought of, oh, I've ruined it now, they can be very hard on themselves. It's like all or nothing.
So I went and I had a kebab on the way home last night. I'm off the diet now. I may as well go for broke and I'll have a burger for my breakfast.
Exactly. Absolutely. Right. It's all or nothing.
Take up running, says one listener. I started running 2 years ago and I've lost 4 stone. I never felt better. Well, I have to say I'm somebody who lost weight. Now, I didn't lose it the easy way. Unfortunately, cancer played a part in my weight loss. But I've managed to keep it off, and it is by running. I sort of eat what I want, but I make sure that I run about 36 to 40K every week.
Great.
And you know what? This is funny. When I had the weight, I used to run and I used to hate it. Now that I've lost the weight and I'm running, I've actually found that I enjoy running. I think if you can find something that actually you enjoy, you find a solution.
Absolutely. That is the secret. Do something, exercise that you enjoy. Yeah, absolutely.
Paul, what about the future of the business? Where is it going in relation to, like, the problem doesn't seem to be going away, which is probably a business opportunity for you at one level, to be sort of crass about it. But, you know, if there was no obesity problem, you wouldn't have a business. So how do you see the future playing out?
Well, we see the future. We're working hard now on a new app. Okay. Obviously, everybody's kind of time poor at the moment, so we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to use what we call our motivational tools, our audio cassettes, and that to help with positive reprogramming. So we're trying to get everything on the app. We also are just about to launch a new recipe book with over 100 recipes next week.
Great.
We'll be looking also at an online program to suit people who maybe just don't have the time to come into the clinics.
Well, listen, it's a great business, Aisling and Paul. Well done to you both. You've been in it a long time. You're great ambassadors for it. I'll go off now and have that deep fried Mars bar. So thanks very much, and every success in the future.
Thanks. News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to SunGard Availability Services, global leaders in disaster recovery and business continuity. IT for business that never stops.